Freedom Seeker, welcome back to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm your host and business guide, Lindsay Sutherland, and joining me today is Dr. Lise Janelle. She is a peak performance coach, and she helps people expedite getting the life of their dreams. And I know many of you listening to this podcast, you're here because you want to live that freedom lifestyle. And Dr. Lise is living that for herself as well. She's going to share how she has designed her life so she has the freedom and flexibility of living in the city when she wants and living in the country when she wants. And I'm going to give you a little hint. It's not all just online. So stay tuned to hear how her story goes. Thanks for joining the show. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to this show on whatever podcast player you prefer and follow me on Facebook and Instagram.
Hello, Lindsay. Nice to have me with you here to discuss these fun things because I love helping people live great lives. That's my passion.
Me too. I'm curious, how did you get your passion? Like, where did that stem from?
I just keep following my heart, and if you're seeking freedom, that's probably what people are doing. Like when I was a teenager, I had a scoliosis, an S in my spine. I had menstrual problems, lots of pain. I went to see a chiropractor. He fixed my back and my menstrual cramps went away. I was like, wow, this is cool. So I decided that was actually a really cool story. One of my I was studying health science pre-med. And one of my classmates who was older than me says, Lise, I'm going to Montreal to see if I can be accepted in chiropractic college. You should come because it's one of the profession of the future. And I went, I never thought about that. So because I had good results and you said that, then I decided to apply. That's why I know the power of asking questions. Like powerful questions can actually change someone's destiny. So I love asking good questions. And then I became a chiropractor, and it would be very frustrating. Sometimes I would have like 10 patients who have similar condition. Eight of them would get better, and two of them, ugh. So then I started to research different methods, and some of the work that I started doing was mind-body work. One of them is called NET, neuro-emotional technique, and it was amazing. It helps you find the moment when an emotion got stored in the body that's impeding your impeding my French tongue sometimes impeding the healing of your body. But then I got really excited because I realized that happy people don't get sick as often, and if they get sick, they heal a lot faster. So it's been kind of a gradual transformation of my work. And then in 1989, I took a powerful seminar that I now do. It's called Extreme Freedom. And I wrote a mission statement for my life, and my mission statement said that I was going to help to transform the life of 1 million people through maximizing their life potential, because it really juices me to do that. So since 1989, I've been on a quest to make that happen. And like you, I'm sure, and lots of people listening, if you have a goal, it's like do 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 do, one day at a time, you do your part, and after months and years, then it starts to take shape, and you end up, voila, living your amazing life.
I think having that why though, that desire to help a specific number of people. I've noticed that people that make a goal of saying, I'm going to transform this many people's lives with this fill in the blank are very effective. They are very effective with the results of that. I think for me, I want to give people the knowledge and the freedom to live that lifestyle however they see fit and the flexibility that it offers. My why is because simply both of my parents passed away before hitting retirement. And I learned quickly that there's no guarantee of someday. And I saw so many, I worked in the car business, which was so intense. And I would see these people, and myself was one of them, working hard, just like my dad. And one day that was gone. He never got to retire. And that's all they were doing was working for their one day. And I'm like, wait a second, this is not what life should be like. I don't think. So I, like, oh, we're gonna just make things happen a little differently.
It's interesting how these big moments, like what you experience, are shape our lives. Like for me, in 1988, my father was diagnosed with terminal cancer and given 9 months to live. He was 53 years old. And that was 3 weeks before my sister's wedding. A week after my sister's wedding, my 21-year-old brother died in a car accident.
Oh, my stars.
And that was a big, like, crazies. Like, how can a healthy 21-year-old die before his terminally ill father? Like, that was like a big, a big screech. Like, not possible. And then within a month of this, my 8-year relationship to the man I thought I was going to marry ended.
Oh, wow.
So I learned it too, just like you. It's like, okay. And it sent me on a quest to understand, how do you live life so that when things like this happen, because it's not if, it's when they happen, even if it's just losing the people you love around you, like experience. So how do you live life so that when it happens, you have no regret? Like, how can you live life without getting flat like a pancake because you're not living in the kumbaya world of like, oh, everything is going to be hooky all the time. It's not, it's like the game we are engaged in playing and fully playing is learning to use support to our advantage. I use my yin yang all the time.
What is
So
that? Oh, an actual, that is so cool.
actual yin yang. So if you're not watching but you're listening, like I have a yin yang, and the light side represents support and fun things, then the dark side represents challenge and hard things. But if you're a smart human being, because I've asked this to thousands of people, because I do public speaking things like raise your hand if you've never had huge challenges in your life. And so far, only had one young girl. She says, me, and I'm scared because I don't know how I'm going to handle it when, it happens. So the thing, if you're a smart cookie, you need to know where you want to go. Like if you want freedom, you want to live an amazing life, just like you're saying, it's like, don't get stuck in just doing what's comfy and not challenging. You're gonna have to learn to challenge yourself, take chances, say no to things, say no to the culture around you, maybe say no to maybe your family, like their values. You're gonna have to really become connected to your own heart, to your own value, because that's the real freedom. Freedom is not the ability to do what you want when you want. Freedom is the ability to do what's good for your heart. Freedom is the ability to do what's good for your heart. Like, yeah, eating a whole chocolate cake, could be fun, but is that your heart speaking or your emotions, So I think that's the human journey, is to learn the true freedom is living by our values, by what matters to our heart versus our emotions.
I think that makes so much sense. I was thinking about that actually. It's been interesting. My journey was podcasting, 5 years ago. Freedom meant making as much money as I could get so that I could do what I want when I want. And so many guests would come on the show and I mean almost like parrot those exact words. And over the years, as I've been doing this and I've been going through my own business journey and all of the things, motherhood and relationships and all of it, I've started to really question like how much does money really matter in this grand scheme of things, other than the fact that it gives you leverage. Like that's it. Actually, and when you start to realize like there could be another way, it doesn't necessarily have to be about the money. It almost makes the money component easier.
It's true. I fully agree. It's not about making money. It's about living by the values of our heart. And sometimes, what you choose to do is going to give you money, so you can hire more people to help you do more work. So you don't have to do all the work. But money, no, money's never been a driving force for me. Money for me is what gives me freedom. So, as you say, like if you have a homestead and you can do it your own way. And if you're a parent, if you're a mother, you realize that you cannot do what you want when you want all the time. Like when you love somebody, when you love something, you need to do things that are not pleasant, but you learn how to love them. That's the difference between liking and loving. In French, we don't have a difference. We have like either we on aime or on aime bien. So in English, you have I like or I love. And loving is important because love brings gratitude. Like if you have to get up in the middle of the night to change the poopy diapers for your baby, you might not like it, but you learn to love it because it's important for you. if you have to take care of your animals and all to do the gardening, all these things. But it gives us a freedom. That's like that. That's the freedom is extreme freedom. Extreme freedom is the capacity to do the actions that give your heart what it desires. And that's a big high. That's how you live passionately. That's how you live an amazing life.
I love that. How so you mentioned, or before we got on talking about these amazing subjects, how you have evolved, and you mentioned going to chiropractic school in the late 80s and evolving. You went through your chiropractic journey, and then you've now transitioned into full-time coaching. Can you share a little about that journey, what that was like for you?
Oh yeah. So I remember, like in 1989, I wrote down I was going to become a coach, basically. Back then it didn't really exist, but that's what I wanted to do. And I remember I had a friend who was a ship captain and he wanted a relationship. It's really hard to have a relationship if you're on a ship. So he decided to become a carpenter. And I heard myself say to him, "But it's easy for you. You have no assets to lose." For me, I had like a building, a house, I had like my cottage, I had all these things. And I went, did you hear what you just said, Lise? Like, you are going to hold yourself back, not to follow your heart because of things. And for me, it's always the test is like, if I was going to take my last breath, would I regret doing or not doing this? And I decided I would rather try to be a coach and fail than not trying. That would be the ultimate failure. And
Indeed.
that's why I did it. At that moment, I was like, and I've really been driven to help transform that life. I was talking, like, I'm writing a book with Jack Canfield about the method I created called the Heart Freedom Method. And we were talking, and both of us feel the same. We're like, I love doing this work to see the sparkle in people's eyes when they realize that they can actually have it all. That the whole time they were not aware of it, but they could have it all. And yeah, I will do a lot of things to give that joy to others. That actually gives me extreme joy.
That's really interesting that you say that, because I do think that, like you said, oh, I have these limitations and my assets and these things that are holding me back. It's very easy for our brain. We're puzzle solvers, right? We our brain naturally solves problems. Therefore, it must create problems to solve. Not must, but it certainly is good at it. And I just think that is our it's like a beautiful part of being a human, but also an interesting part, because we kind of become our own slave driver. Like, we create our own cage and our own walls. And it just doesn't matter. Like, I remember when I was a little girl, my grandmother used to tell me, "Lindsay, you can do whatever you want in the world." And as a little girl, I always thought, wow, I really can. And I mean, I embraced that. Even when I was, I don't know, 16, I think, she sent me a bio autobiography for Lee Iacocca, who I don't know if you know who he is, but he was pretty famous. And I read it and I was like, wow, if he could do that, I could do that. I just had this such freedom, this idea that I could truly do anything in the world. And I spent 20 years in the car business, like, as a result of it. But I just think, like, where did that little girl go? Like, where was that, like,
Yeah, but
big
at the same
dreamer?
time, you might have been doing, that you were probably exploring other areas of your life. Like, I think we need to create a foundation where we feel safe from where we can jump into. And it's a journey. It doesn't happen like, click, magic wand, everything is transformed. Like, you're not the first person. Like most of us, it's a journey. I don't think you lost her. I can see her very much alive.
I love that. I love the freedom of just that. And I wanted to express that, because I think that there's a lot of people who listen, who hear you. Our heart wants to believe you, right? But there's this, like, timid step forward where we're sort of leaning in, but we're like, we're always waiting for the shoe to drop. You know what I mean? And it kind of goes back to our conversation about, for me, I think it was losing my mom, right? At a young age. It just feels like life's good only until the shoe drops or whatever drops, something not fun. And so that can be a limiting belief that we can create. I mean, we could go on about all those different things. So in your framework, do you have like a path that people can go through to kind of unveil this thing within themselves?
Yeah, I'm actually really passionate because it's actually not rocket science. It's not complicated. Like, it's very down to earth. To live an amazing life, to have the freedom to live, first, you need to spend time with your heart, opening your heart to yourself. And I have a weekend called Extreme Freedom where I teach people how to do this. And because without a connection to your heart, you don't have clarity. You cannot have inspiration. When people tell me, oh, I don't know what to do with my life, it's because they don't have a connection with their heart. So this is what I teach. I teach people how to connect with their heart, because when you connect with your heart, you have gratitude. And when you have gratitude, you experience heaven on earth. Just starting there is amazing. The second thing, and that's what I'm really passionate about, because this, some people know that, but 99% of the population is not aware that 90 to 95% of what you do is actually pre-programmed. So most people don't know. They think they're running the show, but they've actually been programmed to believe that what they want is what they want, or they can do or cannot do. And second, they don't know there's a solution, which is what I do now. Like, I created the Heart Freedom Method, which I'm teaching this weekend. I'm very passionate. I'm so excited. Like, I do a, it's my first time doing it. That's why I'm excited.
Oh, how congratulations. That's exciting. Is this an in-person thing or a virtual thing?
Both, you
Oh,
can
nice.
either do it in person or virtually, where I'm going to teach people, because I do it. Like, I train coaches in my method. And we have what I call the Healer Healer Weekend, where, all the coaches work together for 2 days. And on Sunday night, everybody's walking on air. It's like, wow, this is so cool. Everybody's excited. Not that, duh, I need to teach how to do this to my regular people so they can free themselves from the beliefs that are holding them back. Like, most people, I was asked to be a keynote speaker in Chicago to 350 coaches from all over North America and Europe. So coaches should all be about success, freedom, all these things. So I offered, like, if you want, I can test you doing the mind-body work that I do. I can test you to see whether or not you really believe, you're ready, willing, and able to be successful. And I had at least 100 coaches lined up, and only one coach was congruent with being successful. Why? Because we are, social beings, and most of us associate being successful with making other people jealous, making them feel uncomfortable, being abandoned, being not loved. So most people associate being successful with hurting other people's feelings. So a lot of people will hold themselves back. So this is what we're going to be doing for 2 days. We're going to explore all the eight areas of life. We're going to see, like, if you are congruent. It's fascinating. I love doing this work. Like, we do muscle testing, and it's like, I'm ready, willing, and able to make $100,000 a year, or 200, or 300, or 400. And all of us have a ceiling, a set point that's acceptable for us. And if you try to go beyond that, then you're going to say the right thing at the wrong moment, the wrong thing at the right moment. And you're going to start, procrastinating and not doing the things that would be good for you. Or you're going to do it, but it uses like three times the energy it should use. Or the worst, you follow the recipe, you do what everybody else is doing, you get results, but you get the opposite results to what you want. So the journey, what I offer, and it's, like I said, that you don't need to cross your fingers and hope you win the lottery. You need to be conscious. The first thing you need to do to be conscious is create, a statement of purpose, learn how to connect with your heart, which is what I teach people. But then you also need to learn about the subconscious. So the conscious and the subconscious, when you intertwine those two things and take actions, you're going to get what you want.
Yeah.
It's not if, it's just like enjoying the journey afterwards to get there.
That's so cool. That's a great way to describe it. And you were able to do that. You got your dream life by, you said you were stuck with holding back because of the assets. You challenged yourself to think past that. How did you design your life?
Well, for me, I always love being by the water. Water is healing for me. I was a competitive rower for 17 years, and I realized part of it was because first thing in the morning I was on the water, and before going for dinner I was on the water. So I was on the water a lot. When I stopped competing, I bought myself a cottage, and I was there at first just on the weekend. But then I realized, you know what? I love being. So what I've done now is I have clients that I can do remotely on Mondays and Fridays. And the other clients, I come to the city, which I enjoy the city also. There's like the culture of the city, the restaurants, the place, all the things that come from being in the city. But I also love, love, love being in nature, just being one with the winds, with the water, with the sand. Right now it's the snow in Canada. It's really cold. We've had 27 centimeters at my cottage right now. So yeah, it's about following your heart, and once you become clear this is what you want, it's not if I can do it, it's how I'm gonna do it. Like the quality of your life depends on the quality of the questions you ask about your life. So how can I live at my cottage half the time and half the time in the city? When that became my question, then I started putting in place, actions that led me to this. But I find a lot of people, me included at first, I had to do my mind body work on that. Like it's hard to admit what we want, because what if I want something I can and I can't get it? And we calculated with my coach, I probably did 126,000 sessions with clients. So after a while, you start to see patterns. And one of the one I've seen quite often, where people are not willing to take a moment to ask themselves, like, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Create a statement of purpose, like organizing their time around, is because when we were born, right from the get-go, love has to come from the outside. And if it doesn't come to you, you start creating stories about your worth, about your capacity to get what you want out of life. When I was born, and a lot of people still, when I was born, they put me in a nursery. So you can cry and cry and cry and cry and cry and cry, and nobody comes. So now you start creating stories like, what's wrong with me? I can't get what I want in life. So you cry and cry and cry and cry and cry harder. And then it hurts so much to ask for what you want and not get it. You stop asking. So we get pre-programmed. A lot of us, we get pre-programmed very early on. First, to not be able to admit what we want. Second, feeling we're not deserving of having what we want, or thinking we are incapable of taking the actions that will give us a result. So that's why, even though it's not complicated, you need to have the right tools. If you want to live an amazing life, you for sure need to be conscious of your core values, of your heart, but you also need to know about the subconscious. Those two tools together is what's going to get you an amazing life.
I love it. When you talk about the subconscious, what do you mean exactly by that? Like when you say you need to know, I think the conscious mind is easy because that's the one we're the most familiar with, easiest to tune into. But what about the subconscious? Like how is that affecting us?
Well, your subconscious is actually what's keeping you alive. Without the subconscious running the show, we would all be dead. Your subconscious mind is constantly scanning your environment to see if you're safe or not. So when the subconscious mind associates more pain than pleasure or more danger than safety to what you want, it will hold you back. It won't let you do it. And relatively speaking, your conscious mind, I want something like I want a homestead, that's the size of a football. And the subconscious mind that's there to keep you alive, the football field. Football field. So which one do you think is going to win? But that's why you need a tool. You need the tool to realize. And I just told you the three clues that you have a subconscious belief working against you. Number one, procrastination. Number two is it's harder than it needs to be. It's exhausting. Number three, you get the opposite results. So once you're clear on what it is you want to create, like I want to create this amazing life, and you're taking actions, but some of the actions you feel like, look at me. Why am I not doing this? Or why am I doing it that way? Why is this so hard? Then you go, ah, I have a subconscious belief. You do the heart freedom method on it, clears you up. Now it's easier to move forward. You don't feel like, otherwise, it's like having this heavy backpack with 100 pounds of rocks and you're constantly pushing against that. Like
Well,
it's.
we're told the just work hard, it will you'll push through, you'll succeed. Hard work pays off, all those things that people say. I'm curious, this is really interesting how life works for me. A lot of times I get podcast guests in the same day or sometimes within a couple of days that there's a same theme, which I find amazing because I talk to people from all over the world and we schedule on different times of the month. And so, how is it that they all end up talking about the same thing around the same time? Blows my mind. But what's been coming up for me a lot in these conversations is nervous system regulation. And you mentioned, feeling safe. This is the other thing, feeling safe. I was joking with my business partner today. I said, I think our whole world needs like a reset button for our emotional or nervous system. It just seems like the chaos in the world is all stemming from everybody having a dysregulated nervous system. And I've been going on my own journey to try to like be mindful of my nervous system. How can I, what tools do I have that I can be more intentional about creating a homeostatic environment that's peaceful, right? And I'm sure as a chiropractor, you have a really interesting insight into that. I'm just wondering, like, is that a, would you say that like a dysregulated nervous system is a clue to help us reveal the subconscious, or is it more of a tool to help heal the subconscious? Have you experienced anything
It's
with
a
that?
clue. If you're not feeling at peace, it's a clue that there's, like for me, when I work as a holistic chiropractor, and I still, as a coach, I use this to help my clients. It's like there's the structural aspect, the biochemical aspect, and the emotional aspect. So if you want to release anxiety, well, exercising is good. Getting adjusted is good. It helps your nervous system to calm down. Biochemically, everything you eat, everything you drink, even if you put potions on your body, like there's so much toxins and so much toxic stuff that is attacking the nervous system. It's crazy. Like mercury, aluminum, the spray in the sky, all these things they're doing to us, Last one is our emotions. And I would say emotions is 60% of it. And emotions, this is important. Emotions are guides to show us where we have the illusion of being unworthy of love. Emotions are guides to show us where we have the illusion of being unworthy of love. So since you're worthy of love, the only thing you need to do is have a tool like the Heart Freedom Method. To go back to the moment when you created a belief that's now working against you, because the belief just gets stuck in your physiology. You heard of Pavlov's dog? So you bring food to the dog is hungry, it salivates, you ring a bell. And after a while, you don't need to ring the bell to bring food, you just need to ring the bell, and the dog salivates. So we have been programmed to feel a certain way. And if you, if, what you resist persists. You may have heard that. If you resist persists, so once you actually become present with the sensation, then you can actually find the initial moment when this got stuck in your physiology. Then you can free yourself from it. I have one of my client, my coaches in training. That was her problem. She had lots of sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system dysregulations. And from doing the Heart Freedom Method with me and getting trained, now she's able to self-regulate, like her attention is like, it's really decreased. I have a peer review study that's coming out, going to be published in a paper in a journal this month. And from doing the heart freedom method, you decrease anxiety by, I think, 42%, nervousness by 37%, you increase happiness by inner peace by like 40%. Like, I can't remember it exactly, but I know from doing the work, the more you do the work, the more inner peace you feel because you're self-regulating. It's really cool. It's an amazing transformation. And it's just like if you go to the gym, you don't have to cross your finger and hope you're going to get stronger. If you go to the gym on a regular basis, you get stronger. And when you do the heart freedom method, you just calm down your nervous system and you also allow yourself to manifest a lot faster than if you didn't know about this tool. So that's why I'm excited. Like, I was looking just before, I'm looking for a tag title to our book with Jack, which the name is going to be Unstuck. And one of the taglines is get what you want faster, but the other one is when the secret is not enough, or when positive thinking is not enough. A lot of people have read the book Think and Grow Rich, and it's cool, it's true, except most people don't know that if what you're thinking about, you're afraid of having it, it's not going to work. That's why some people get really frustrated because, like, why is it that this thing in my life works always so well, but this does not? It's just because you're not aware of the subconscious. That's why.
Well, what he talks about in that book is the burning desire. And I remember, like, when I moved from Arizona to Idaho, that was a legitimate burning desire. It was like, come hell or high water, I was moving to Idaho. Nobody was going to stand in my way. I didn't care how. I didn't need to know how. I was like, this is happening. And I would visualize it with such palpability. You were telling me before we got on that you'd gone whitewater rafting down in southern Idaho. I had such vivid visualizations of being, I'd never been to Idaho yet. But I had such vivid visualizations that when we drove through, I drove through the Snake River. I had this experience that I'd been there because of my clear visions. It was so
Wow.
strong. And I
Wow.
always thought it was so interesting how I could manifest my dream log cabin in the woods and I went from a six-figure corporate job to log cabin in the woods. I could create this dream lifestyle, right? 8 years later, this is kind of what got me thinking because I'm like, what happens after the dream, right? The guess what? If you don't have another dream, life goes back to being the mundane. Life becomes, I mean, all of the quote problems you might have had before start to just become habits. It goes back to what you're talking about with the subconscious mind. I knew in my heart that changing the location wasn't like moving was going to create the freedom. That wasn't so much the issue for me. I visualized a lifestyle that I wanted, homesteading. I wanted my sheep. I wanted my garden. And I have those things. And I have their lakes and the rivers and all the beautiful things and the friends. I mean, so much good things happen in my life as a result. But then I find like, I think having a dream creates this sense of, I don't know, purpose. And I think I lost a little bit of that where I just went through a phase where I thought I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, found out that being Susie Homemaker was not my jam. I enjoy business. So I kind of went through this like self-discovery journey, found myself, and yet still often felt like, huh, what is my next? I know what I'm capable of, but I'm not doing something like that, right? And I feel sort of like blasé, like it kind of makes life feel gray. And so I was thinking about this recently, and I'm bringing it. I promise I'm coming to a point. I was thinking of the Think and Grow Rich book, and I thought, I wonder if I could hack my brain to develop a burning desire about something. Like, because nothing felt so exciting like it did when I was in that pressure to want to move here. And so the truth is, I didn't get a clear answer. I mean, it was kind of like, sort of yes, but it wasn't as palpable as it was when I had that very clear burning desire. I have goals, I have things I'm working towards, but I haven't found that like thing. You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about. And so I'm curious, like, have you seen that? Is that something people have gone through this cycle? Maybe they get their big thing that their vision of whatever it is, and then there's this kind of like, now what? It's like Finding Nemo. Now what?
Yeah, it's like you need to have something greater than yourself. As long as you have something greater than yourself, it won't run out of juice. Like it's bigger than you. So that's the difference between a goal and a purpose, because your goals, you can actually reach your goals. And now what? Exactly, like now what? What do I do? Like I've had other, clients where mom wants to be a mom. Okay, great. And then the kids grow up and go to school in another city. And then they start drinking, smoking lots of pot. It's like they come to see me like, what, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? Which is often how it happens. Like we create a crisis, and it's a journey of evolution where we take the time to ask ourselves, who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? And that's what I love to do with people. I wrote a book called Conversation with the Heart, and it's really good to help you do that. I have my Extreme Freedom Weekend, which is where I do that. But in a nutshell, I'm going to reveal to you your purpose in life.
Oh, really? Okay. I wasn't expecting
Is to bring the best out of yourself.
that.
To explore all the different aspects of your life, and out of love for yourself, want to, that's what you need to get juiced by. Because by bringing the best out of yourself, this is how you're going to impact the world. Like I have an analogy. If you have, I was at my other house before, and I had these little white flowers, and I didn't even know the name, but I leaned over and was like, oh, it was exquisite. It was like, wow, the perfect sunset. It was like, I was like, wow. And I go, wow, if this little flower didn't have the pride to bring its essence in the world, I would never have experienced this right now. So each one of us, we have an essence. And when we bring that essence into the world, first, it's an act of love towards yourself, but it's also an act of love towards the world. Because when you have, we're never going to change the world by telling the world you're doing this wrong, you're doing la la la. We're going to change the world by having millions of people driven to connect with their heart, to love who they are, to bring the best out of themselves so they can create heaven on earth for themselves and others. This is how we're going to change the world. It's not going to happen to telling people you're doing it wrong. It's by each one of us being connected and driven enough to be within our heart. So we are on a spiritual quest of doing. I think that's the path to enlightenment. The path to enlightenment is to learn to take away all the. There's only two ways of living life, through our heart or through our fears. And I imagine fears is often the subconscious work. And I imagine duct tape. So every time you do the heart freedom method, you take one piece of duct tape away so that your light can be expressed in the world. And when you become really passionate about living life that way, it's fun because you're constantly out of your comfort zone a little bit. It's like, why is it that people jump out of an airplane? Because it's really out of their comfort zone. You couldn't live like that all the time. You would kill yourself, your adrenal glands. So what we need to do is set goals. Like look at ourselves. Like the beginning of the year is actually a really good time to do this. It's like you look at your life and all the different areas of your life, and you go like, how am I going to get out of my comfort zone in each area of life and take some action step out of love, because I want to bring the best out of myself. I'm going to look at my environment, at my friends, at the things I'm learning, at my career, at my finances, at my spiritual life, at my family. Like you're going to look at all the different areas of your life, and you're going to decide like, wow, this is cool. And if you have something like me, I mentioned, like for me, when my father's, all these things, all that happened is I wrote a statement of purpose for my life, and my career part said I was going to help heal the hearts of 1 million people. I had no idea how. I just knew the what and the why. And that's also part of trusting. And that's how you become really driven and passionate. It's like it's so out of your comfort zone. You just have this like heat-seeking missile inside of you that's looking to make this happen. And then you take action, and then you know it's the law of attraction. I actually got to be on stage and teach the law of attraction to the people from the movie The Secret. It was really amazing.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
So this is the true law of attraction. Challenge yourself, attract support, stay in your comfort zone, attract challenges. So we don't have a choice. Each and every one of us, if you challenge yourself to pay attention to your heart, what is it? What's my mission? What's my purpose in life? How am I going to bring them? And you challenge yourself to do that, you're going to experience happiness. If you stay in your comfort zone, you don't ask yourself, you don't go on a journey, then you're just going to be miserable. Nobody experiences more pleasure than pain. The only thing we can do is choose how we're going to get there.
I love that. So interesting that you mentioned building heaven on earth. I once told that to my grandmother, speaking of her. I used to tell her, Grandma, I believe that our job, I mean, I was probably only like 15, maybe 17, somewhere in that. I think we're meant to experience heaven on earth. Like, I feel like that's what God put us here is to figure out how to live that way. Now, she was raised very Christian. She was a Bible teacher when she was, Bible study church person when she was a kid. She goes, "No, Lindsay, heaven's heaven. It's above us." I'm like, I just don't think it is. Like, there was just
It's not
something
valid.
about it I couldn't. And that phrase has come up for me so much. It's eerie a little bit that you said that. That's pretty cool.
I find we experience heaven on earth every time we're grateful. And if
Beautiful.
you, because I've experienced that, the first time I did this kind of work, I went from feeling my life sucked, after I told you my father diagnosed and all these things, and I thought it was so painful. And then from doing the work and opening my heart, I ended up in such a state of gratitude. Like it was overwhelming. Like when I saw the perfection of all the challenges, I got into a state of grace. So I know if you go into an extreme case of gratitude, you go to a state of grace. And in the state of grace, it's like a near-death experience. If you read what, people tell you, they died and come back. Because I was shown, and I ended up in this altered state. It was amazing. It was like all love. And I was shown without words that everything that ever happened, everything that is happening, everything that will ever happen is for us to grow in love and wisdom. And once you start living from that place, then you experience heaven on earth.
Wow, that sounds like a beautiful place to end this. Tell us where people can connect with you. Also, what was the name of your book, Conversations with the Heart?
Yeah.
Can they find that on your website or is it on Amazon or?
You can go conversationwiththeheart.com. If you go there, you can get the digital copy on my website, or you can have a link to Amazon and it will ship it to you. And if you want to find out more about our programs, because we have programs for everything from smaller budgets to big budgets to medium budgets, we have everything to help you and guide you. You can speak with Greg, which is Greg at drlegionel.com, and he will guide you. He can answer all your questions.
I love that. Thank you so much. What a beautiful treasure and gift to the world. I appreciate this conversation immensely.
That's funny because I was thinking the same thing. You are a gift to the world. There's a
Oh, thank
beauty
you.
in your heart and an authenticity and integrity that's very inspiring. So thank you.
I thank you. I receive that. Very good. Whoops. I thought I